Let's see here. How many of y'all would just give me 10 minutes to speak this morning? Anybody? I've been here too much. There's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. We're going to be all right on this thing. Mic-sized. praise the Lord. We're glad to be here. We want y'all to know that we're blessed to be in the house of God this morning. We've got some DHM stickers if you want them, and two CDs. If y'all didn't get the first one, we still got it, but we got a second CD we literally just released this weekend. You know what? You're going to announce that from now on. You always got something extra to say. Praise the Lord. We take cash, credit, handshakes, hugs, but money's preferable. No, listen, how many of y'all have ever seen me do anything like that before? I don't do it. And the reason I don't do it is because, I don't know, I find a hard time putting a commercial in the Word of God. Can I get undignified for a minute? Uh-oh. She has something to say.
I love my husband. He's a humble man. And I love that indeed about him. Amen. He has a hard time advertising his stuff because he feels like it's sales. Well, it's not. This is just furthering the ministry for us to go down the road and spread God's word, his music. The new CD actually has live service on it. This is a combination of different churches we were at over the last year or two.
Including Faith Independent Assembly of God.
Yes. Two. Yeah. But this is just an opportunity to spread the word, and there is a small sermon on here. And, you know, if you know somebody that needs the word, we kept it short.
Yeah, 6 minutes.
You know, we know from family members that can't get out to church, people that you may not be able to get into a church for a random number of reasons. There may be an opportunity for you to minister the gospel to them, take church to them, whereas they may not come here. We understand that. And it's just another avenue of ministry. We want to offer that and have it available for you. If you have questions about payment, anything, just come see me, all right? And it comes to you, Matthew or I, the one of us, we've got plenty of options. And
they quit letting me give them out because I gave too many away.
Well, when we have to pay copyright license fees for songs that we've used of other people, we've got to be kind of careful. You like him better? You know, honestly, we feel that we want to deliver God's word. That's our logo that we go by, deliver his message. And all we're doing is providing other opportunities, other avenues for you to reach out and to bless somebody else, to be able to share that. We know people that play those CDs in their car and wear them out and call for another one.
Yep.
Amen. However it blesses you, we hope it does. Amen. That's Amen. All. I'm going to keep it short. What?
I'll say my 2 cents, and then I won't say it ever again. But over the last couple of years, God has truly blessed us with an ability to do things like this live stuff. That's the reason it's here. The other thing that we've got now that we've never had in the past is the ability to record everything. We're recording what I'm saying right now. And every service this week is going to be recorded. So this is Sunday morning, and a lot of folks are here Sunday morning. But if you work on Monday night and you can't come to church, we've got it. So if you want service for this week, all 5 services, we don't have them yet, so if you can bring me a flash drive, I will give you all 5 services on Wednesday night. You can take that to your friends. You can take it home if you can't come, whatever. They're about, I know for some folks probably don't like size on flash drives, but it's about 2 gigs a service. So if you want all 5, you're going to need a 10-gig flash drive on Wednesday night kind of thing. I'm going to make sure the pastor's got a copy of that too, so if you come next week, he can get you a copy of it. But that is the ministry here. I want you to share this stuff, right?
Amen.
Because we don't want to, I know we shouldn't be peddling in the church, and that's not what we're doing,
yeah,
right?
Know.
We're paying to build CDs, but we're not charging for ministry. So if you want the ministry here this weekend, it's all on there, and that is so cool, and I'm excited about it, and that's why I'm up here talking instead of Mike. So just be aware that that exists. If you want service this week, come and talk to us, all right? Amen?
Amen. I will say, if you want to know about quality on these services, you can ask Pastor. The quality is unbelievable. When you pop in that flash drive and pull up the service, it sounds like you're with us again. I mean, it's clean, it's clear, it's just beautiful. On to the Word, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and I'm only going to preach for 50 minutes is what I was allowed, so. Some of y'all are looking at me like, are you serious, man? You're afraid, aren't you? I'm really going to preach 50 minutes. 6 minutes for a sermon on this album. And I said in 6 minutes what takes us 2.5 hours to say. So I'm only going to preach as long as God is with me. Once he's done, I'm done. Once he's done, I'm done. Wow. My lips get tangled sometimes. They're too big. I stumble over them all the time. It's another part that God decided to increase, which I wish he would have decreased. I keep saying I must decrease that he may increase, and some reason I just become more level. I get a bigger bubble in the middle. Y'all with me? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Reads as follows, verse 5. Paul talking to Timothy here says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. I want you to take a look just for a second, because this will be worth your whole morning. Which was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. That's good stuff. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul said, I prayed for you, Timothy. I laid my hands on you, and God imparted a gift to you through that experience. So stir up that gift. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, Pastor Ron, it's amazing how much fear dictates what goes on a Sunday morning in our church houses today. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Somebody say power. Power. Of love. Somebody say love. And of a sound mind. Somebody say sound mind. If I have to title this message this morning, it's simply this: fear versus faith. We operate in one or the other on a regular basis. And whether we know it or not, we impart whichever one we operate to our children and to our children's children. And as we impart it to our children and our children's children, they impart it to their children and to their children's children. So that if we have a strong faith in God, generation after generation after generation, through our unfeigned faith, through our unwavering faith, can come to know God because we set the example. But if we have a fear, generation after generation stand bound by our fears because we set the example. We bow our heads this morning. Father God, I give you honor, glory, and praise for everything you've done and everything you're about to do in this place this morning. Father, anoint me that I may preach your word simple, straight, and true. And anoint the ears of this your congregation that we may hear it and put it into action in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, somebody say, amen. I was with a dear saint of God, and this is one of those saints of God that when she prays, heaven moves. She knows the Lord. She walks in the admonition of the Lord. And she just, man, when she walks, I think heaven just waits to hear what she's going to say. How many of y'all know somebody like that? She's in her early 70s today, and to this very day, she still has her son go in and going through the entire house to make sure nobody's in it, even though the doors have all been locked. And the reason why he has to do it, he calls it running the gauntlet for mom. The reason why he has to do it every time she goes away and comes back is because as a kid, her mom would hide in a closet, and when she'd jump by, she'd jump out and scare her from the darkness. And it built such a paralyzing fear that still in her 70s, she's bound and gripped by that fear. Are you hearing me? I don't like heights. One of the first times Matthew and I got into a project, he came over to the house, and I went up on the house on the roof. We were roofing, actually. And I went up on the roof in sandals, and the rain was coming, and it started to sprinkle, and I had a tarp pulled out, and the tarp had pulled back. And so I went to nail the tarp down, and my foot caught that shingle, or that tarp. And I didn't have any traction on my shoes, and I was in sandals to boot. And, I cut a flip right off on that tarp, right down the roof, and a nail stuck in my knee and held me on the roof. Sis, my wife and I had only been married just a very little short amount of time, and I found out that that sweet woman that I love has an evil side. She took alcohol and she poured straight in that dude. I screamed and I said, "Devil, come out of my wife!" And she said, "I'm not the devil, you take it." Because my body cannot fight infection, so if I'd have gotten an infection in it, it'd been bad. We were home last June. My dad hobbled down a pond bank, down a river bank, and hobbled back up it. My dad's 6'2". He can bench press a tractor to this day. I mean, he's a huge man. I had never in my life seen him hobble around anywhere. I said, "Dad, that looks like plantar fasciitis. I have a boot I wear for that. It feels like a nail going right up through your heel, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I have a boot." And while we were sitting out on Pine Bank, I ordered a boot for him. I want you to see how God sets us up for success. Never for failure, but for success. I ordered the boot. I sent it to his home. He got it on a Tuesday, and he was wearing it. I told him not to wear it to sleep in it, and he did it anyways. And as he was walking into his bedroom, he stubbed his toe, and he took the skin right off the front of his toe. Now, because the pain had been there, he had a doctor's appointment a day after he stubbed his toe. But in that day after, his toe had turned black as night and turned into gangrene. He went into the doctor's appointment because Dad's diabetic. I forgot to tell you that, but hey, you know what happens. Went into the doctor's appointment, and the doctor said, "Your son's right, that's plantar fasciitis. That boot's nice. I got one I like a little better. If you want mine, I'll sell it to you for $197. I bought his for $22. Watch this. I want you to see the difference between fear and faith. My father was standing there with the doc, and the doctor looked at Dad, and he said, "Mike, how much blood did you lose when you stubbed your toe?" And Dad said, "Not one drop. Not one drop." He said, "That shouldn't be. You need to go to a cardiologist." This was on a Wednesday. On Friday, he went to the cardiologist here in Des Moines. And he said, "Wow, Mike, you've got a 4-inch, 100% blockage right behind your knee, and we can't stent that." So they have this new Roto-Rooter dude that they shoot through a blockage and they suck the blockage out. And they did that for Dad, and they said, "That's probably going to plug up in another 3 or 4 months, but we'll keep an eye on it. Go home." Dad said, "Is this gangrene?" And the doctor said, "Yes." My dad was an athlete all of his life. He would pull 100-pound cable. It's 100 pounds a foot. 100 pounds a foot. He'd pull 40-foot runs with his bare hands through conduit. My dad is a beast of a man. So to see something humble my dad the way this did, it was something for me to struggle with. Mom said, You just need to pray. So we did. It was a month and a half later. Mom's a registered nurse. She'd been doctoring it all along. And some, Sister Janet, when I got married, something in my mom rubbed off on my wife. It's bad. Because mom would take and scrub that dude down. She had to get the dead skin off. Wasn't profitable. And I could see that little smile on her face. Hold still, you big baby! Mom was working on it, praying the whole time we were praying. It was a month and a half later, after they had gotten 9 blockages in Dad's leg, opened up. Dad went back to the podiatrist and he said, I knew you were going to lose that toe a month and a half ago. I thought you were probably going to lose your entire leg a month and a half ago. He said, you still got gangrene in it, but that looks good. It's what he said, but that looks good. Today, because of faith, Dad's toe is still on his body. And it's 100% healed. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? Listen, Dad could have started to doubt within himself, and I'm sure if he would have doubted and not trusted God in that thing, he'd have lost his toe. He could have lost his leg up to his knee. He could have lost his entire leg up to his hip. He could have lost his life. Are you hearing me? But God had a different plan. I don't know what mountain you're facing today. I know this. You're facing mountains. And it is natural to fear. Peter and the disciples were in a boat. They were going across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to walk out to them. Because Jesus didn't need roads. He just walked right across the water. And the disciples were afraid. And they said, it's a spirit. And Peter said, no, that looks like Jesus. Jesus, is that you? If it's you, let me come to you. And I don't care what your intentions are when you get out of the boat. It's keeping your eye on the destination that will get you there. And Peter walks to Jesus. And you know what's amazing? Is in my Bible, it reads that Jesus reached down and took him by the hand and pulled him up out of the water. Because as he almost made it, he saw the wave of sight of a building coming at him, and he lost sight of the destination. I don't know what the doctors have said to you. I don't know what the lawyers have said to you. I don't know what anybody said to you, but I know this. God is bigger than your mountain. Amen. A little boy, just a teenager, a ruddy runt of a youth, came out to the battlefield, and he was looking, and there stood a giant on the other hill. It's kind of like my dad, just big, massive, intimidating. You don't want to meet this dude in a dark alley at night. You're like, did that telephone pole just move? And there he stood, and he said, I defy the armies of Israel. And this little punk, David, said, that ain't nothing. See, I was out tending my father's sheep, and this bear came up, and I killed it. I was out tending daddy's sheep, and this lion came up, and I killed it too. That ain't nothing. That's nothing for God. It's literally how David put it. He said, you're nothing to God. Who is this nothing before God? David went down and he chose 5 stones. Some people say it was for Goliath's 4 brothers. Who knows? I mean, it's proven that Goliath had 4 brothers. Who knows? He took 5. Maybe David didn't trust his first shot, but he knew God would deliver. He took off running towards Goliath and he said, what am I, a dog, that you send this nothingness to fight me? David said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I don't know what your Goliath is, your mountain is, what you're facing, but I can tell you this. You're never going to make it through on your own power. But he's not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a power of love. A power of faith. He's given us a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. That's unbelievable. Brother Mike, I feel weak. You know what? That's okay. There are times we should feel weak. Just help us to grow that much more. You know, Moses heard the voice of God on the backside of the desert. By the way, I just found out recently, did some math. Moses was almost right around 80 years old at the burning bush. How many of y'all knew that? 40 years in Egypt, 40 years on the backside of the desert, and you think you got it bad. 80 years old, and God said, go deliver my people. And Moses said, I don't talk right. God said, go anyways. Moses said, I can't make them believe. God said, that's not your job, Moses. I'll make them believe. And so Moses did like God commanded. He went with Aaron to Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. And you know, God sent the 10 plagues. And finally, Pharaoh said, get out of here. Go, just go. And they take off. And I don't know about you, but the way I read Exodus, Pharaoh got upset the day after he let them go. And he took off after them. Now, friends, Israel had been slaves for 400 years. They knew how to build bricks. They knew how to build monuments. But war was not in them at this point. Somebody hearing me. And here comes the best trained army in the entire known world after them. I don't know what you're facing. But with the Red Sea in front and Pharaoh behind, Moses said, God, what will I do? And he said, put your staff, Moses, in the Red Sea. And when he did, the thing parted. How many of y'all ever walk across a dry pond? How many of y'all made it to the other side? We probably had the same experience. I made it to the middle and sank up to my waist. It had been dry for weeks and it was still soft underneath. But the Bible says that Moses and the children of Israel went across on dry ground. God did a new thing for Moses. He did a new thing for Peter. He did a new thing for David. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, I don't care what mountain you're facing, he'll do a new thing for you. Somebody say amen. You see, fear binds you. It literally paralyzes your ability to believe anything of a positive outcome. But faith liberates you. It sets you free to believe that God can and he will. But Brother Mike, I've been praying and I've been believing for such a long time and I haven't seen it. Hold on, honey. Your answer's coming. Your answer is on the way. Well, if you just send me $29.95, we'll make sure you get an answer today. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. And I don't care if I die this afternoon in my bed. I'll still know that God is more than able to take me over any mountain the devil can bring my way. I don't care if we go out of here and slip and fall and break my noodle. God is still more than able to heal any mountain that comes my way. I'm not to ask how. I'm just to believe and know that I'm going through. But the problem with us as individuals is we want the answer now. We want to know how. We want all of the details laid out before us. God said we were going to have 5 years of prosperity and then 5 years of famine. It'd be nice, friends. We're celebrating 30 years in the ministry today, and I've never had that. Well, not today. It's actually in a couple weeks, but 30 years in the ministry, that's quite a while, isn't it? How old are you, Brother Mike? Well, my brother, my twin brother's 42, but I'm 29, you know. Jack Benny was 39 until the day he died, so I'll be 39. I don't want to ever be in a place where my fear hinders my faith. I always want to be able to stand in the place where faith sees God glorified. Come on, team. I always want to be able to stand in a place where faith is able to overcome my doubt. The only place in the Bible where Jesus said, and he could do no miracles, it follows after these words, because of their unbelief. Fear and faith are complete opposites.